Read the questions.
Today we are journeying to the 19th century to meet an extraordinary woman, Mary Anning. Known as the Princess of Paleontology, Mary Anning entered history with a bang in 1799 in a place called Lyme Regis on the southwest coast of England. Mary's parents were called Richard and also Mary, and they weren't a very posh family at all. Tragically, they had 10 children, but only young Mary and her brother Joseph survived. Richard was a respectable cabinet maker. As well as being quite poor, the Anning family had unusual religious beliefs for the time. Richard Anning strongly believed that poor people should have better rights and a good education. So when he wasn't building fancy furniture, he was involved in protests against food shortages. Even though she was quite poor and was a girl, young Mary's parents made sure that she had an education. And soon she became interested in geology and paleontology. This was a nice hobby to have in Lyme Regis because fossils were absolutely everywhere. You couldn't go for a walk on the beach without tripping over crusty remains of a prehistoric sea snail. To make some extra cash, Mary's dad, Richard, started collecting fossils that the family could sell to tourists. Mary was only 11 years old when she lost her dad. When she was just 12, her brother Joseph found a huge skull, but he was too busy to dig it up because he had a job, so Mary took charge. She carefully dug up a skeleton of an ichthyosaur, which is a prehistoric sea reptile. It was the first ichthyosaur skeleton ever found. Over the next few years, Mary found absolutely bucket loads of spectacular fossils, including a plesiosaur, which has been described as like a long-necked, four-flippered sea dragon. Despite making these rare and remarkable discoveries, people were still not taking Mary seriously. Now, in 1823, it caught the attention of the very important French paleontologist Georges Cuvier. When he realised she was a legit fossil boffin, he mentioned her in his public writings, and that meant that other people also started to think of her more seriously. She dissected animals to find out how their bodies worked, and she even copied out articles by hand. Sadly, due to sexism and class snobbery, nobody would let Mary publish articles of her own. Collectors and museums bought her fossils from her, but then they took all the credit for describing them. We also have Mary's commonplace book. Now, this book gives us an idea of what Mary was like in person. But what did she look like? In reality, Mary was probably physically very fit and tanned from being outdoors all the time doing her fossil hunting. Now, we do have a possible sketch of her by Mary's geologist friend, Henri de la Beche. We're not certain if it is her, but the person is wearing a plaid skirt, a dark cape, and is carrying a geological hammer. What's especially interesting is that if it is her, she wasn't wearing a bonnet. She was wearing a top hat, which was only for men. Despite her talent, Mary Anning didn't get to see her work in print. During her career, Mary discovered winged pterosaurs, 30 new species of prehistoric fish, many ammonites, and lots of iconic, extinct marine reptiles. Mary took no nonsense, and some men found her a bit surly, sarcastic, and blunt. Mary had wanted great recognition for her achievements in her lifetime, but outside of her friendships, she really didn't get it. But after her death, people started to recognise her. In 1865, even the famous Charles Dickens included an article about her in his magazine. Some people also think she was the inspiration for the tongue twister, "She sells seashells by the seashore," though there's not much evidence to back that up. In 2010, the Royal Society of Science named Mary as one of the most influential British women in the history of science.
Now, listen again.
Today we are journeying to the 19th century to meet an extraordinary woman, Mary Anning. Known as the Princess of Paleontology, Mary Anning entered history with a bang in 1799 in a place called Lyme Regis on the southwest coast of England. Mary's parents were called Richard and also Mary, and they weren't a very posh family at all. Tragically, they had 10 children, but only young Mary and her brother Joseph survived. Richard was a respectable cabinet maker. As well as being quite poor, the Anning family had unusual religious beliefs for the time. Richard Anning strongly believed that poor people should have better rights and a good education. So when he wasn't building fancy furniture, he was involved in protests against food shortages. Even though she was quite poor and was a girl, young Mary's parents made sure that she had an education. And soon she became interested in geology and paleontology. This was a nice hobby to have in Lyme Regis because fossils were absolutely everywhere. You couldn't go for a walk on the beach without tripping over crusty remains of a prehistoric sea snail. To make some extra cash, Mary's dad, Richard, started collecting fossils that the family could sell to tourists. Mary was only 11 years old when she lost her dad. When she was just 12, her brother Joseph found a huge skull, but he was too busy to dig it up because he had a job, so Mary took charge. She carefully dug up a skeleton of an ichthyosaur, which is a prehistoric sea reptile. It was the first ichthyosaur skeleton ever found. Over the next few years, Mary found absolutely bucket loads of spectacular fossils, including a plesiosaur, which has been described as like a long-necked, four-flippered sea dragon. Despite making these rare and remarkable discoveries, people were still not taking Mary seriously. Now, in 1823, it caught the attention of the very important French paleontologist Georges Cuvier. When he realised she was a legit fossil boffin, he mentioned her in his public writings, and that meant that other people also started to think of her more seriously. She dissected animals to find out how their bodies worked, and she even copied out articles by hand. Sadly, due to sexism and class snobbery, nobody would let Mary publish articles of her own. Collectors and museums bought her fossils from her, but then they took all the credit for describing them. We also have Mary's commonplace book. Now, this book gives us an idea of what Mary was like in person. But what did she look like? In reality, Mary was probably physically very fit and tan from being outdoors all the time doing her fossil hunting. Now, we do have a possible sketch of her by Mary's geologist friend, Henri de la Beche. We're not certain if it is her, but the person is wearing a plaid skirt, a dark cape, and is carrying a geological hammer. What's especially interesting is that if it is her, she wasn't wearing a bonnet. She was wearing a top hat, which was only for men. Despite her talent, Mary Anning didn't get to see her work in print. During her career, Mary discovered winged pterosaurs, 30 new species of prehistoric fish, many ammonites, and lots of iconic, extinct marine reptiles. Mary took no nonsense, and some men found her a bit surly, sarcastic, and blunt. Mary had wanted great recognition for her achievements in her lifetime, but outside of her friendships, she really didn't get it. But after her death, people started to recognise her. In 1865, even the famous Charles Dickens included an article about her in his magazine. Some people also think she was the inspiration for the tongue twister, "She sells seashells by the seashore," though there's not much evidence to back that up. In 2010, the Royal Society of Science named Mary as one of the most influential British women in the history of science.
That is the end of part 3.